Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Kingdom Keys Weekly, a gospel broadcast designed to help believers grow in grace and in knowledge, where our message is the kingdom and our mission is to develop the kingdom mindset. We now join our broadcast already in progress, so join us as we receive our host, pastor, and teacher, Pastor Chris Taylor.
We say good morning and welcome. We're trusting. I'm hoping you can hear me okay. Please let me know. If you can, we're going to just do a quick spell through, but just bear with me for 1 second as we continue to listen in.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of our Sunday Live Service, our communion service. Again, this is the day the Lord has made. We are here to rejoice and to be glad in it. The Bible compels us that we should enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise, to be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. We want to begin our morning this morning with a word of prayer. If you would bow your heads with me as we invoke the presence of the Holy Spirit to join us
Spirit of living God, we are grateful to you this day, even for how you have watched and kept us. We're especially gracious for this day of new mercies, another month that you protected us in this new year. So God, as we move forward in the promotion and the promulgation of this service, we realize we can't go, we can't move, we can't function without the presence of your Spirit. So we're inviting the presence of your Spirit to be our lead and our guide. Spirit of the living God, we invite you to have your way with this service today. We'll be careful to give you all the glory and praise. It is in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus the Christ we pray, and we all say together, amen. Amen. All right, so I want to call your attention, if you would. There's a couple of scriptures I want us to pay attention to. I want us to look at, first and foremost, I want us to look at Leviticus chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 17. I won't read that in its entirety. But we also want to look at especially 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. That will be our scripture, our matter of focus for this morning. So we want to invite you to turn there, call your attention there, if you would. And we want you to be mindful. Again, I want to just give you a reminder of where we are going, heading this week. Now, on next Sunday, I will be preaching for Pastor Burris for his anniversary. And so we will also be hosting our live service there at 8 a.m. on next week. So those of you that want, that wish to worship with us, we invite you to come and join us. And so if you're here for the communion service, other than that, we will get the information to you. Otherwise, we will send out a publication this week, and also an update on how you'll be able to follow the service live. We'll be broadcasting moving forward live, and in our live broadcast, we will be at that time also have a video component added to our audio component. So those of you that are not comfortable with being at the live service in that respect, then what we will do is we will have a video component to where you can watch us from home and follow along from home moving forward, and that will pick up on next Sunday at 8 a.m. And so we will be forwarding that information to you during the week, and we encourage all of you to share the information one with another. And if you are here, we want to invite you to come. If you have a mask and you feel comfortable, you may welcome, you're welcome to enter into the sanctuary to sit just before we move into our live services. But we're grateful for all of you who continue to support us, and especially grateful to all of the members of C.L. Taylor Community Outreach Ministries for their continued support, your continued dedication, and your continued obedience to God, especially in your giving, as we know it, according to Malachi chapter 3. So, again, thank you to all of you who continue to support and continue to operate under the obedience and the Spirit. And so we're grateful to all of you. I bless God for you, and also saying that with that in respect, may God continue to bless you and manifest his blessing on you. So again, we wanted to look at 2 Samuel, right? 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. We're going to be our scripture. We kind of covered this before, but I want to introduce to you where we're moving to, and then we'll have our invocational reading this morning coming to us, and it'll follow up. But it says, "Then the king said to Araunah, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which with that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built an altar there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel." And so that is our scripture meeting this morning for our invocation. And I also want to share with you another scripture in regards to that. We're going to look at Leviticus chapter 3. And within that, we're looking at verses 1 through 17. I'm going to read to you a little bit of what it, but the first aspects, I'm going to read to you the first six verses, and then I'll move forward with the other aspects, all right? So it says, when his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood around the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offerings an offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat that covers the entrails and the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And so let's stop right there at those five verses. Okay, so let's talk about this concept of the peace offering, all right? That is, I'm going to read to you a reading, and then we'll go move forward, and I'll give you a little explanation. Because in our study of the Old Testament types, our study of the snapshots of Jesus Christ that happened, that occurred in the Old Testament, we understand that to be so. So we're learning about the tabernacle itself of Moses, and we're still building to that, but we want to have this is our preface to that study. And so here is the concept that we really want you to grasp now, okay? So it tells us in this first part that the peace offering was of two kinds, right? It was either the herd or the flock. We learned that in the previous two offerings, right? The burnt offering and the sweet savor or the sweet smelling offering. We talked about these. Now, remember, these first three offerings that we named and that are five in the Bible, the first three that are detailed within chapters 1 through 17 of Leviticus, 1 through 16 of Leviticus, remember, this shows us how the way to God by sacrifice. And it gives us the system of sacrifices that we were to use. And that's what this details, right? So remember, that sacrifice had to be without spot or blemish. Had to be perfect. And the offerer brought his offering, either bullock, lamb, goat, or whatever it was, into the court of the tabernacle to the altar of burnt offerings. And there, which is considered before the Lord, he laid his hand upon his head and then killed it. And then the officiating priest would catch the blood in the basin and he would sprinkle it around the altar. So this is the concept of, remember, the sacrifices. Now, the first three of these five types of offerings listed in the book of Leviticus, the first three were all voluntary. They were voluntary. And the reason why this is important, because voluntary offerings, again, they weren't required by God. This was a voluntary offering. This was a gift that you gave to God. And yet God says, when you bring me a gift, even if you volunteer to bring me a gift, there is a preparation you must make. And there is a duty that and a responsibility to you as the offerer that needs to be proposed. So verse 6 through 9, verse 6 and 8 tells us about the transfer of that when he's offering as a sacrifice of the peace offering to the Lord of the flock, for the male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb as his offering, he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the offering and kill it before the tabernacle meeting. And Aaron's sons should do the same thing, right? You're talking about the same concept of what type of meat it was to bring. Now, what's different about the peace offering from the burnt offering or the sweet-smelling offering was that, number one, that this could be male or female. Remember, the first two offerings had to be male without spot or blemish. This is a female. This could be a male or female. So this is a free will offering. You could give what it was, whatever it was of those that you could, male or female. Didn't have to represent that. Remember, the first two represented males because those offerings were a type of Christ. We're going to explain what this offering is and how it typifies Christ and who it typifies in this respect and what it typifies. That's what we're going to discover here, all right? So after the animal was sacrificed and you hear about all the fat and these things that were designed. Now, let me help you understand. Let me put this into perspective because I consider myself to be a grill aficionado, and meaning I love to cook on the barbecue grill. And there is nothing more enticing, nothing more capturing or drawing than the smell of barbecue when it meat, when it hits that grill and that sizzle and that smoke that comes up. Now, that's a sweet smelling aroma to me. Now, if we're made in the image of and likeness of God, it also suggests to us through the scripture that these are also sweet smelling savors to God himself. He likes to smell himself, right? So this is one on the Day of Atonement when we're to do this. So imagine coming to a family barbecue, and before you get to the driveway, before you get to the block, you can smell that meat cooking and that sizzle. You can hear it as you approach. And I'm hoping I'm not making any of y'all too hungry this morning because I know it's breakfast time. But this is the thing that was the jarring aspect. So when you go into the court, these tents of the tabernacle, to the courts of the tabernacle for the offering, this was the smell that was going on. It was like a cookout. Now, the scripture explains the purpose of using the fat. Now, if any of you know, when you cook a grill and it has fat around that steak, and when you flip that steak and that fat starts to drip and it hits the coal, it creates a fire and it shoots up, and that fire creates a heat and a sizzle, and it makes that meat cook and all of this other thing into the pipe, the way if you're not careful, it can mess around there and cook your meat too fast because the fire, fat drips. And so those concepts that you know about grilling are the same concepts that are here. The purpose of the fat was to create the fire to keep those fire and coals going, because you got to think about how many offerings and how many sacrifices was made on the Day of Atonement. Now, the Bible also tells us that this meat was also shared with the priest. The priest was invited to the family of the household to share in this meal. So after the animal was opened and the fat and all that other stuff was burned on the altar, then the remainder of the animal was to be eaten by the priest and the person bringing the offering and his family. Now, what was happening in this is that the priest would take it and he would wave, like they would take the breast and they would cut it, and he would wave it to and fro before the Lord, and then give it to the priest, and then give it to the priest and his sons. And then they take the shoulder and they would do the thing. They would heave it up and down before the Lord, and then it would be given to the officiating priest, and the remainder of the animal was given to the offer. So let me tell you, so the breast belonged to the high priest and his sons, and the shoulder, or what's called the shank, was given to the officiating minister, the one who was at the door observing the fact that the sacrifice was decent. That was his role. So he would sit there, and he would make this wave, and he would do all of these things in that respect. And this is how the transfer of the signal was made. And so what would happen here, and let me keep reading. So it says that when this peace offering happened, the word peace, I don't want you to get confused about what it suggests, because I need to explain in detail what these really mean in the aspect of the peace offering. Now, when we read 2 Samuel 24, verse 24 and 25, it suggests to us that David offered a peace offering to God because in respect that he injured God and he wanted to make things right. But that's not the term or the definition of this word offering in this respect or sacrifice. Because watch this, the word sacrifice in the Hebrew is the word kabal, which means to draw close to. So watch this. Your sacrifices, your offerings, anything that you bring to God is designed to bring you closer to him. So David realized that he sinned against God. And this peace offering that he gave, or this fellowship offering that he offered to the Lord, was not to make peace with God, but the purpose of this was to bring himself closer to God, because anytime we sin, we separate ourselves from God. And this peace offering that David gave, this fellowship offering, was not because of his sin, because you have a sin offering that you'll find from chapter 17 on down that was designed for sin that God himself required. But these were voluntary offerings. Now, let's backtrack, because we studied recently that when Noah realized that the waters had drawn back, and that he had been, and God had confirmed his covenant and given him the sign of the rainbow and the olive branch that the dove returned back with. And then when the dove did not return, it says that Noah exited the boat and he offered a sacrifice of one of every clean animal that there was. And so This was not just a burnt offering, but it was a peace offering, a fellowship offering, because in this respect, God gave him a word. He fulfilled it. And Noah also gave God a vow. And this was the consummation of that vow. And because God was a man of his word, Noah offered a peace offering and a burnt offering. And this is where a lot of this comes into fruition. So the flesh of the peace offering, watch this. Here's the connection. That word in this suggests thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So understand that, underline that. When we read Leviticus 3, it tells us about the peace offering. But it also picks up in Leviticus chapter 7 through verses 11 and 21. It tells us about the offering of thanksgiving and the offering of the fulfillment of a vow. So here's where the two types of offering that it basically tells about what this peace offering is. It's either one, an offering of thanksgiving, or it's an offering of fulfillment of a vow. So in Noah's case, it was the fulfillment of a vow. God gave him a word that said, I will establish my covenant with you. I will save you and your household. And when Noah got on the other side of that covenant, he made a covenant. He made an offering for the fulfillment of this vow. But in David's case, David made this an offering of thanksgiving. And this offering of thanksgiving comes from your wealth. And this is why David said, I cannot offer to God anything that did not cost me something. So David is saying, whatever it is that you bring to God ought to cost you something. It ought to be valuable. The Levitical law tells us in here in chapters 3 and verse number 7, that God does not want our junk. He wants the best of our offering. So he shows us how we are to give in Leviticus, and then he shows us by example how to give when he gave Christ's son on Calvary. And so this is the concept that he's really trying to wrap up in here when he talk about this concept. So you have an offering of a vow and an offering of thanksgiving. Let me give you an example of both of those. So if I make it relevant to us nowadays, if we come to God and we say, God, I need your guidance. God, I need your direction. I need your leadership. I need you to show me the way. I need your deliverance. And God does what he says he's going to do, or he does what we ask him to do, then we ought to give him a peace offering, because in that respect, God has fulfilled a vow. So when we have said God, if you do this, I promise I will do this. At some point, God is saying, okay, I've done my part. Now it's time for you to do yours. You said that if I did this, you're going to do this. You're going to get, and remember, the objective of all of these gifts were to draw us closer to the master, to the Father. And so God delivers us from all of the things that we ask him of. And then when it's time for us to pay up, we don't show up. So he hits us in Malachi 3 asking us, will a man rob God? So here's the concept. So let's get back to the flesh of the peace offering or the thanksgiving offering was to be eaten the same day as it was offered. Again, the flesh of the peace offering or the thanksgiving offering was to be eaten the same day that it was offered. But the flesh of a vow offering could be kept over until the next day. But if any of it remained until the third day, it was considered corrupt and had to be burned. So what does this say to the believer? What it's saying to us is that if God has been good to us, if God has fulfilled his vow and been a man of his word, then we ought to that day, the same day, express our gratitude to God. So quit putting off giving God what he deserves for tomorrow or the next day. When the Bible is showing us through precept, when we come to God, we come to him, bringing him the gifts that day. And that day we are to eat of the meal that day. And too many times in life, we're relying on old stuff that God says is no good anymore. We're still trying to live off of those things. And God's saying, you got to burn that stuff up. You will be ready today for what the Lord has to offer. And this is this concept that he's trying to push. Remember, and watch this. So if the offerer ate it on the third day of his offering, then God didn't accept the offering that you gave day one. So here's the concept. The peace offering was an offering of reconciliation. not for the purpose of reconciling the offerer, but the offerer was to show that he had been reconciled. You get what I'm saying? So the act of giving, we don't give because we want to be reconciled, or we don't give to God. We don't bring him gifts or money because we're trying to earn his favor. We bring him gifts because we've already been favored. See, we don't try to bribe God with our tithes and our offerings and things of that nature. No, that's not how this works. We give to God because we have already been reconciled. This is an example of us already being believers and not trying to be connected with God. We give because we're already connected, but we're trying to get closer. And that's the concept. Again, the peace offering was not for reconciliation, but the peace offering was because we have already been reconciled. We've already been reconnected with God. So we don't do things. You hear about people, I give to the church and I do this. I'm a generous person. And they think those are the things that qualify you for heaven. And God is saying through this example, no, giving does not qualify you for to heaven, but you give because you've already been qualified. So that's the concept that's here that we need to understand. And so, again, the peace offering was an offering of reconciliation, not to be reconciled, but because we've already been reconciled. I want to share some scriptures with you to back that up. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 53 through 56. I know that's a lot of reading, but you got to understand that while Christ, at the same time, we understand Christ is our peace offering. He's our reconciliation by whom we've been reconciled to God. Yet he's more than just that. Upon that, he said, especially on the day, he said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, right? So now we're connecting with communion. Let me read that set of scriptures for you. Again, verse number 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of my flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Now, this is not the concept of cannibalism. Please don't believe that. But this is the connection that Jesus is making with the Levitical law in verses 3 and chapters 3 and 7 of Leviticus. Here is Christ connecting himself to that set of scriptures. So understand, this is my body and my blood. It's meat and drink. This is the offering that he said, his flesh is meat. Look at Matthew. Turn there. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. And this is where Jesus is actually instituting the Lord's Supper. And so here he says, watch this. He says, and as they were eating and drinking, Jesus took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said to them, take, eat. This is my body. Verse 27, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine now until the day that when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So, and then it says, and they sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. So here is the concept of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper and giving them the explanation of how he encompasses every single type of sacrifice and offering that there was. And again, remember the term sacrifice means to draw us closer to the Lord. And that was the connection here that he went to make. All right. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then you're going to look at verses 23 through 26. Here's what it says. Again, the same concept of what Jesus said in John, in Matthew. Here, Paul is explaining to the Corinthian church. Look at what he says in 23. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it, he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took also the cup after the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So here's the concept. We see here that the peace offering has what we call an antitypical fulfillment of the Lord's Supper, wherein we feast before the Lord by faith, the body and the blood of Jesus, which was sacrificed at Calvary. So this is the concept of the peace offering that was introduced. Let me make this connection again to reassert to you. David made a peace offering to the Lord when we talk about in 2 Samuel. Why? Because David was making an offering of thanksgiving from his well-being. David had become prosperous and rich. And when David had disobeyed God, God sent his punishment and plagued the land, gave David a choice. David chose to leave himself in God's hand, and God gave him the least of the punishments, to Israel. And David realized that God could have been, watch this, things could have been a lot worse than how it turned out. So David was expressing his thanksgiving for deliverance. God had delivered him. And so this was his offering of thanksgiving. And so in anything that we give, God is saying, I need the best of what you have. The offering needs to be prepared, perfect, without blemish. And you set this apart from everything else first. And when you give your offering to the Lord, you bring your offering to the Lord with an attitude of thanksgiving. I remember, and it brought to me as I'm studying this, the connection of songs that we were singing. And we really, even though we were kids, really had no idea of the significance of the songs that we were singing. For instance, we used to say, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say unto, oh my goodness, oh something. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Something flew up at me. Y'all got to forgive me. Caught me off guard. So anyway, in that first phrase, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Remember, this peace offering was an offering of thanksgiving. So he's saying, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. These courts we're talking about were the courts within the tabernacle of the church. You have the outer court, you have the inner court. And the writer is saying, we're going to enter into those things with thanksgiving and with praise. So along with your offering is the attitude of thanksgiving. And if God has been a man of his word and given us a vow, then we ought and fulfilled the vow, then we ought to be willing to give God what he requires. And a voluntary offering of thanksgiving is something we all should be able to do. God has been a man of his word in every account that we can count, consider. So this is the reason why it's examined. The Bible says, it tells us that when we eat of the bread and drink of the cup unworthy, in an unworthy manner, we'll be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Remember, he told them, when you bring that offering, and you celebrate that closeness with God that day. You enter his courts with praise that day. Quit putting off your praise or handcuffing your praise. When you come, when the most awesome thing, like I said, that I've ever seen was a person pay their tithes and then go into a full-fledged shop. I saw a preacher do that. He didn't have a job, but every Sunday he would read the scriptures for tithe and offering period. Will a man rob God? Get ye rob me. And all these scriptures. And he felt convicted. And then one day he felt so convicted that he felt like he wasn't fit to read those scriptures to do that. But the pastor had him do it anyway. Lo and behold, he got a job. And then the first thing he did was pay his tithes. And before he could even read that scripture, he went into a full shout, just started celebrating. There are certain people who want to do for the Lord. And this is one of the examples of what it means, the attitude that you should give, that you should have when you come bringing the peace offering. And so this peace offering, again, the language says peace. It suggests we're trying to get right with God. No, but that's not the purpose of this peace offering. The purpose of this peace offering is to celebrate the fact that we have been made right, that we have been made right with God. Again, we're not celebrating because we're trying to get right with God. The purpose of us bringing these gifts and bringing these things, again, is because we have already been reconciled. Now, for the understanding, let's go here. What does it mean to be reconciled? What is reconciliation? We hear about this all the time. The Bible speaks of this ministry of reconciliation. So what does it mean to be reconciled by definition of record? It means simply to restore friendly relationships between two people. That's what reconciliation means. It's where it's the action that causes me to coexist in harmony with you. If we were injured, now this is a component of it. If there was some strife between us, the work of reconciliation means that now a friendly relationship has been restored between the two of us. So here's the important part and the significance of what I'm trying to explain here. Sin has caused a rift between us and God, a disharmony, it causes us to not be friends anymore. If that was the case, if I can make that simple. And what happens is, in reconciliation, the two parties are brought together in harmony. Now, with that, in that respect, the Bible also explains to us that since there was this rift between us and God, a break in the communication, we would not see things God's way, and God would not see things our way. He understands, he knows what we're going through, but he wants us to do things his way. But we decided we want to do things our way, and because of that, it created a rift between us and God personally. And because there was no communication between the two of us, it calls for the need of a mediator. And we learned in Hebrew that Christ, our high priest, sits at the right hand of the Father and makes mediations for us, which means that he is our go-between. He is our connection between God and man. He is the vehicle of reconciliation. So when David offered his peace offering, it was for being delivered. It was a thanksgiving for being delivered, in the sense that God, this could have went a whole lot worse than it did. But because of God's willingness to have mercy on David, David then responded with a peace offering, or an offering of thanksgiving. Thank you for delivering me from a bad situation. In Noah's case, when he exited the ark of safety, the ark of protection, the ark of salvation, when he exited the ark and realized that God had confirmed his covenant with him, just like he said, the Bible says, he offered a peace offering, a volunteer offering of not only thanksgiving, but the acknowledgement that God had made a vow and that God was true to his word. And so Noah responds by being true to his, true to the vow, and he offers this peace offering or this offering of thanksgiving. And so we're learning that Christ has become all of the offerings, all of these fulfillments that we needed, all of the things necessary. He became that in order to make the relationship right with us. So let's recap. So the first aspect of us understanding this important concept of the book of sacrifices, the book of Leviticus, is to understand these offerings now, right? Now, remember, chapters 1 through 16 tells us the way to God through sacrifice. Chapter 17 through 27 shows us the walk with God by sanctification. So we got the way to God, and then we have the walk with God. Both of these are detailed in the book of Leviticus. And the main teaching of this book is to, for us, is how sin is put away through this system of sacrifice and offerings. And so these offerings or sacrifices, again, that word kabah means to draw close to. The purpose of our offerings, our sacrifices, are designed in nature by God to draw us closer to him. And so understand that. But first, in Leviticus chapter 1, we had the burnt offering, right? Only be male. And secondly, after we had the burnt offering, the next offering we had that was the sweet-smelling savor or the sweet-smelling offer. And we learned, what did we learn from those offerings? Well, the first one, the whole offering or the whole burnt offering, Romans 12 told us that we should present ourselves as a whole offering or a living sacrifice. And the purpose of that, drawing closer to the Lord. The second, that burnt offering, I mean the meat offering or the sweet smelling offering, the sweet smelling savor. Ephesians 5 and 12 told us that Christ loved us so much that he had given himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And so here we learn in not only from the meat offering and the meal offering, the which was thrown up in the air and then laid on the altar. It was sprinkled with the salt and all those things that we talked about in our studies. You know, we learn from what those mean, how it typical, what do they have, frankincense, oil, and salt and all these things, and that this meal offering was consumed on the altar and the rest was eaten by the priest. Now, this was, the antitypical Christ of the meal offering in that respect, because the Bible tells us that he was the corn of wheat. Remember, he said, except the corn of wheat shall fall to the ground and die. That's what the meal offering was. It was wheat that was ground up into a fine flour. And it was mixed with oil and salt so it wouldn't be corrupted, and it was offered with frankincense and all of these things. And so it tells us that in Christ there was no corruption. He was offered and he be as the bread of life. He was all of those things. And here we learn in Leviticus he is also the peace offering that was required, right? Because here's the thing that was required with the peace offering. We're going to discover later on in this chapter, we're going to deal with it some more. But along with this peace offering, there was also, it was both meat and bread. There were special cakes that they had to make. You'll find in Leviticus chapter 11, cakes with that were baked and they had to be ridden with oil and stuff like that. You know, and they were like pancakes, biscuits, and bread, and flatbread type of deals and all these other things. And they were to be eaten with the meat, and it was presented, and the priests, they all had a feast to celebrate this Day of Atonement and this peace offering and celebrate being reconciled one with another. And that's what we learn here in the Bible. And again, Jesus culminates it in John by explaining that he is this meal offering, this peace offering, that his body would cover all of the aspects that was necessary for us to be reconciled back into a right relationship with God. And so we want to thank again all of you. We trust you were helped by the message today, the word of God. And what is that message? Is that when we come to Christ, when we bring God our gifts and our offerings and sacrifice, first of all, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and then, of course, with praise. This is how we are to come to him. And it not only describes the attitude, but it also describes the method of how we are to approach God. it tells us that when we come to celebrate the goodness of God, we don't put that off and we don't live off of that 2 days and 3 days later. That it is the thing that we ought to do immediately. When God has given us a blessing, unexpected, out of nowhere, those you hit that lottery number all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just unexpected. And the stimulus check came out of nowhere on top of your income refund. All of these things just pop up and just unexpected blessings in some case. Someone just gave you something, a gift, and it's unexpected blessing. All of these. This is where the peace offering comes into respect, because whenever we are favored by God in any respect of the word, I'll put it that way. I know I jokingly said lottery numbers and all that stuff. Not that I'm expecting all the good members to be playing a lot of numbers. I'm not saying that. You know, if it's legal here, that's your own conscience. What I am saying is that anytime that we experience the unexpected favor of God, then we ought to respond with some sort of peace offering, some type of peace sacrifice, something that would even draw us even closer to God. And so, my brothers and sisters, I want to share with you the one thing that Jesus expressed. In John chapter 14, you find that Jesus expressed to his brethren when he was telling them that he was going to be leaving them and what to expect. And the disciples had responded with confusion, didn't know, talked about they didn't know where he was going and didn't know how to get there. And Jesus responded by saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except he comes by me." He says, "I am the gate. I am the door." And he names all of these things that point you to the fact that there is no way to get back to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So if you're out there listening and you're outside of the fellowship or relationship with Christ, we are hoping that you will respect the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary when he gave his life as the sacrifice and the offering for us to reconcile us back to a right relationship with God. This was the purpose of that work. And so in that, we're trusting that you will continue to allow the word of God to penetrate your heart and your minds and to continue to lead you and guide you in that respect. And again, I must say thank you to all of the members of C.L. Taylor Community Outreach Ministries who continue to support, continue to give, continue to live in the act of obedience, as we know it, according to Malachi chapter 3. And there may be some of you out there listening who are, you're not members, but you want to join us in this support to move the gospel, or maybe one of our other community outreach ventures that we engage in yearly or annually. We want to invite you to make your gift. Join us in giving. Make a gift made payable to C.L. Taylor Ministries at 8928 South Figueroa Street in the city of Los Angeles, and that zip code is 90003. Again, that is 8928 South Figueroa Street in the city of Los Angeles, and that zip code is 90003. Again, thank you so much for joining us. So we wrapped up with about 12 minutes, 10 minutes left until the end of this broadcast. We know we don't generally give benedictions on days where we're going to be fellowshipping as communion fellowship. So what I want to invite you to do, those of you that are already here, if you would help us make ready for our communion service, and those of you that are on the way, hopefully you'll be here by 9, and we will begin there soon and do our best to get you back to your homes and to your destinations without holding you hostage here too long. But thank you so much for joining us. And with that being said, we want to going to listen a little bit to just a little bit of our instrumental music, our music, and then we'll move from there. Again, thank you so much for joining us.